time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 13th of August. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by the Village Butchery, the place to go for fine cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Oceanview Road, Onirua. On Saturday the 13th of August, Jan Scott talked to Anne Lowe from the Waikos. She talked to Katie Soljak, the musical director for the Blues Festival, and Jackie O'Brien from Project Shio Ni Japan.
Let's welcome our first guest and say hi to Anna. Anna Lowe from Waikos. Hi, Anna. Welcome. Now, you've come to talk to us about quite a few things. Firstly, the Waikos is having its AGM coming up shortly, is that right?
It is. We've got our AGM on the 6th of September, and that will be at 10 a.m. at Surfdale Hall. So everyone's welcome to come down to that.
On Wednesday the 10th?
Sorry, September the 6th,
September,
which I believe is a Tuesday at 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m, okay. Now tell us a little bit about Waikos. Why should people come to the AGM and get involved?
Waikos stands for the Waiheke Island Council of Social Services. And so we're basically an umbrella network for all social services on Waiheke Island. We've got a really great membership already. We'd always like more members, anyone that is working in the social services. And it's just a great organisation. We provide sort of advocacy on behalf of all social services on the island, and it's a really great tool for people to network. And so we meet once a month and we talk about everything that's going on in our own respective organisations, and it gives us plenty of opportunities to work together on things.
So do you have to be involved in social services to get involved with Waikos?
We are the Council of Social Services, so yes, in a way. It's relatively open. So, for example, I work with the Waste Resource Trust, and we're a member of Waikos. And so we're primarily an environmental organisation, but we also have social aims. And so, yeah, as long as whatever organisation you are involved in has some sort of social aim, then you're welcome.
Right. And you're also going to be running some volunteering sessions. What's involved in those?
We thought it would be a really good idea to provide the opportunity for people that use volunteers on Waiheke Island to have a bit of training and maybe some upskilling if they felt like that would be useful. So we're going to be getting Cheryl from Volunteering Auckland over to the island and running three different sessions sort of a week apart from each other, and each session will focus on a different element of volunteering. The first one will be on recruitment, so ideas and strategies for how you can, you know, get all those volunteers on board that you need, and that's going to be running on the 23rd of August, again at 10 a.m. that starts.
And what day of the week is that? Is that a weekday?
It is a weekday, and I don't know what day of the week it is. I'm thinking it's probably a Wednesday from memory.
And where will that be?
And that will be at Surfdale Hall as well. And so, again, everybody that that has anything to do with volunteers or would like to have more volunteers for their organisation is welcome to come along. It's free. And there'll be another follow-up session on the 30th of August that will be focusing mainly on retention of volunteers, and then a final third session on succession planning. So should be really useful.
Indeed, because I think there's a shortage of volunteers out there now, isn't there? You know, a lot more activities that people are involved with that they didn't used to be. And, you know, they're stretched a bit further than they used to be.
Definitely. And we find on Waiheke that we've got a really excellent core of volunteers on the island, but often the same people are volunteering for, you know, quite a few different organisations, and they are really stretched. It's the same people that pop up time and time and time again as volunteers. And so we'd like to sort of hopefully access some new volunteers, maybe some younger volunteers, and really just give the organisations that use volunteers or need them the skills to get them on board.
Right. So is the idea to have a pool of volunteers that people can tap into, or is it more empowering the individual organisations to find their own volunteers?
Certainly, it's about giving the skills to the organisations, definitely. But there is another side to it, and we'd really like to, as an organisation, WICOS would like to carry out some research and talk to all the organisations that do use volunteers at the moment about what their needs are and work out what Waiheke special needs are around volunteers. And hopefully, part of that would be potentially creating a network of volunteers on Waiheke, so that if you did need volunteers, you'd have a list, an email list possibly, or even through Facebook or social networking, where you could call out, you know, put a call out and say, we need, I don't know, 20 people for tree planting and who's interested. So that would potentially be something that would come out of that.
I think this is probably a first, isn't it, on the island, this sort of session?
Pass. The volunteering sessions have been run before. I think the last ones were a couple of years ago, not exactly these ones. So these will be slightly different topics. But in terms, I think of in terms of making a strategy around volunteers for the island, it would be a first.
Sounds like a great idea.
Definitely. I mean, volunteers are so valuable and so many organisations rely on them.
And some organisations are more successful than others in attracting volunteers.
I think so, yeah.
And possibly because they've got more skills and knowing how to go about it. And so sharing that knowledge is great, isn't it?
Definitely. And obviously some organisations might have a bit more appeal, you know, initially on face value. I think a lot of people like the idea of going and working with animals and things like that at the SPCA. And there's some that I think really do attract volunteers quite easily, and some topics or sort of work that don't attract volunteers so easily. So it's about sort of getting the skills out there.
Mm. Yeah. So how did you become involved in WICOS?
I am a trustee on the Jassie Dean Trust. And I just had a discussion with Hera one day. Hera is the chairperson of WICOS, and she said she'd love to have Jassie Dean Trust coming along and being represented at the WICOS meetings, and no one else put their hand up in the trust, so it was me, and I went along, and that was just last year. And since then I've started work with the Waste Resource Trust as well, so I sort of go along in that double capacity, and I really enjoy it, actually. It's been really useful, and I know for the Jassie Dean Trust it's been useful for us to have someone there at the meetings, because it's provided lots of, it's just sort of sparked conversations about different things and sparked quite a few new initiatives for us, so very valuable.
Yes, indeed, and of course Jassie Dean does a great job on the island for sick kids, doesn't it?
I think we do, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, we do. It was born out of a really challenging time for Greg, the chairperson, but what's come out of that is really fantastic. And yeah, over the last 17 years I think the trust has been going, they have provided a huge amount of support for Waiheke families, and that's makes me really proud to be involved with that.
Indeed, and it's a great memorial to Jassie.
It is, I think. Yeah, what better can you have than to have that ongoing, you know, and her memory living through and supporting other families that need help. So,
And of course, we've got the garden safari coming up in November.
We do, on the 12th and 13th of November. We've got our 11th garden safari now, which is really exciting. It's gone from strength to strength every year, the garden safari. It's great to be involved in, and we've got a fantastic coordinator on board this year who's just doing a wonderful job of pulling it all together. It's quite a mammoth task, really, doing the garden safari, and I'm responsible for coordinating the volunteers this year. We usually need somewhere upwards of around 70 volunteers over the weekend to make everything flow well, and so we'd love to hear from anyone that would like to volunteer. There's no special skills that you need. All you need to do is really be able to commit to working either on the Saturday or the Sunday of the safari from about 9:30 in the morning until 4:30, I'd say, possibly 5. It's a really good day out, and basically you greet all the visitors to the garden and show them where the public toilets might be and point them, you know, out the main sites in the garden. And we'll also provide anyone that volunteers with a free ticket to the garden safari. So on the day that they're not working, they can go and check out all the other gardens and enjoy themselves.
So how many volunteers do you need?
I think I've got, we've got at last count probably 35 confirmed volunteers. We also have a huge amount of volunteers that come back every year. And so I'm, in the next few days, it's on my list to give them a call and see if they'd like to join us again this year. So I'm fairly confident we'll get the numbers, but we can always do with more. So I think we could probably do at the moment with another 35 or so.
Right. And how do they contact you?
They can contact me on Garden Safari Volunteer, all one word, at gmail.com. Or they can phone me at home on 372-8173 or give me a text on my mobile 021-399-109 and I can call them back.
And what dates were they again?
The 12th and the 13th of November from about 9:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the evening. But just we usually get volunteers to do one day of those days.
Right. And it is a lot of fun. I have done it in the past.
Oh,
and
good.
It's great fun.
Good.
Yeah, so it's well worth doing.
Yeah, I think the number of returned volunteers sort of says that they usually have a good time. So.
Yes, indeed. Have they firmed up what the gardens are going to be this year and where they are?
We've got 13 gardens confirmed. They are most of the way around the island and they're just really exciting. We've got a really great range this year of home gardens. We've got, I don't know if I meant to say who we've got yet, but I'll say a little bit. We've got Eleanor Ashby's garden in and she's a very skilled rose specialist in New Zealand and she's got a beautiful home garden that she made off quite a hard sort of clay site and some incredible roses in there. Hers is always a wonderful garden to go and visit, and in fact the year before she won the People's Choice, so we've got her back in, which is fantastic. And we've also got sort of a really wide mix from home DIY gardens to fantastic sort of landscaped very grand garden, so it's quite a nice mix.
Indeed. Yeah. And of course there's also the plant sale that goes on at Rangahau, isn't there?
We're going to have that again, yep, that'll be running on both days, and this year as well as the plant sale we are having a book sale, so if anyone has any old gardening books that they'd like to donate, they can be donated to Anne at Rangahau, where the garden safari will be the plant sale will be held, and they'll also go to the Jassie Dean Trust. So,
what a good idea.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll have to
ferret
around. I think I've got some old Yates garden guide somewhere.
Brilliant. That's exactly what we're after.
That's excellent. Also, I note that you're in the process or about to embark on updating the Waikos Community Directory.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is that directory housed? Is it at the library or the...
It is at the library. It's also at the service centre in Ostend. It is at the CAB, and a lot of the member organisations also will have copies of the directory. So it's spread out as much as we can over the island. It's a free directory, and it's quite a good-sized little book. And it basically lists all of the social services, as well as medical centres and sort of specialist services that exist on Waiheke, and also some from Auckland, like Youthline and things like that. And the police, obviously, everyone that you'd need to contact in sort of any sort of time of trouble. It's a fantastic little directory, and it is 3 years old, the one we've got now, so we thought it was really due for a makeover and an update because numbers change quite often. So we have just had some funding. We've received some funding to update the book, which we'll be doing over the next month or so. And this year we are actually inviting anyone, really, to advertise in the directory. To help us, we didn't receive quite enough funding to cover the whole printing of the booklet, so if anyone would like to advertise, it would be fantastic, and it'll help us to get that directory made up.
Right, so how does somebody go about getting their names in the directory?
They can contact anyone from Waikos, and probably contact me is fine if that's the easy way to go, and I can arrange that. The ads are a really reasonable price. It's a directory that stays out for 3 years, and we do get it as far across Waiheke as we can. And a quarter page ad is $60, a half a page ad is $100, and a full page ad is $180. So it's very affordable advertising.
Indeed. Who qualifies to be listed in that directory? I mean, how wide is the interpretation of a social service?
That's a really good question, and I wish I had the book with me. There is, it's actually very broad, the book, and from memory it's got things like the Wish Trust, and it's got all the other members of Waikos, so that's the Health Trust and the medical centres and Piritahi. It's also got groups like Forest and Bird. So it's really a directory of non-profit or sort of community organisations on Waiheke, for example, the radio stations in there. So it is quite broad, and like I said, this year we'll also be extending it a little bit and having things like Youthline and international phone numbers or national phone numbers that that people can call for support.
Mm-hmm. So it's organisations rather than individuals.
It is. It's definitely organisations.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And if you wanted a copy of this directory, is it available?
It's available
for purchase?
Free. Yep. No, it's a free book.
Right.
We want everyone to be able to access it. And the best place to get one at the moment, although it is out of date, the current one would be down at the CAB in Oniroa.
Okay. And as you said, the library has it, and also the service centre at Ostend.
Yeah, I believe so.
Right. Okay, well, that sort of brings us neatly back to the AGM.
That's right.
Whereabouts, just before we go on to that, whereabouts are you advertising for the update of the directory in the local newspapers?
We haven't advertised yet for the update of the directory. We just thought we'd put the word out there and have a conversation. And I think also, I know that a lot of the members of YCOS, although they get a free listing anyway, in fact, any community organisation will get a free listing, I think a lot of us will offer to advertise as well. So we're just going to put it out there quietly and see what happens, and I guess we'll bring it up again at the AGM and see if anyone else is interested.
Right. Now, the AGM is, just remind us when and where.
AGM is on September the 6th at 10 a.m. at Surfdale Hall.
And this is the Waiheke Island Community Council of Social Services?
It is. It's the YCOS AGM, exactly, but it's very much open to anyone that is interested in sort of any aspect of social services on the island.
Okay.
We want to get as much of a network as possible happening.
And one of the great things you're going to be doing very shortly is running volunteering sessions for organisations on the island that are looking for volunteers and are not quite sure how to go about it.
That's right.
So when is that happening?
The first session on recruitment specifically will be on the 23rd of August at 10 a.m. Going through to 1 p.m. at Surfdale Hall. And that's a free session. All of them are free. And bring your lunch is
right.
The only thing to bring with you.
Okay. Well, Anna, you're a busy lady, not just with YCOS, but also with the JCDN Trust.
I am.
So if you're interested in getting involved with YCOS, coming along to the AGM or having a listing in their directory or coming to the volunteer sessions, and if you're interested in being a volunteer for the JCDN Garden Safari in November, give Anna a ring or a text or an email. And
please,
what are your details again, Anna?
My email address is, my personal email address is spannerlow@gmail.com. That's all one word. If it's about the Garden Safari, gardensafarivolunteer@gmail.com, and phone number is 372-8173.
Okay, and the personal email address, it's low with an E on the end.
Yes, right. But with SP on the front, so Spanner Low.
Oh, okay.
That was my childhood nickname and I haven't quite moved on. so you can email me on that if you're interested in being involved in YCOS or coming to the AGM or the volunteering sessions.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Anna, for coming along, and good luck.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Now it's my very great pleasure to say hi to Katie Soljak. Hello, Katie.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Katie needs no introduction. She's been on the island for how many years now?
Going on 11 now.
Really? Mm. Oh, great. And you've been doing some gigs yourself not so long ago.
Yes.
I think Rocky Bay Hall was jumping and various other places.
Yes.
And with a new lineup.
Yes, it's a new lineup. That's Katie Soljak and the Top Chicks.
Right. And are you putting an album together?
Yes, that'll be coming out probably next year.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've got Katie here with a different hat on today. She's got a white hat on, actually. It's not a blue one, but she's the talent coordinator for the Blues Festival. Tell us something about that.
Yes, what, the Blues Festival or the talent coordinator
part? Well, basically what your job entails and then something about the Blues Festival.
Del and I had this idea about, well, this is our third festival now, to bring a blues festival in the winter to Waiheke because there's less going on, you know, and we like blues. And so I, being a blues musician and being around the scene for quite a few more years than I'd like to say, I'm familiar with a lot of musicians, and I also know how to talk musician language, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to contact people very easily and, you know, get dialogue going and find out if they're available, you know, things like that. And Del's excellent at the business side of things and promotion. She's
right, so you're a good team.
Yeah, we're a good team. Yeah.
Mm. When did you start working on this festival?
This one, this year?
Mm.
A few months ago, yeah.
Right.
It's been, probably maybe 6 months we started, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I guess some of these people, you need to get in fairly quickly to book them up in advance,
right,
wouldn't you?
That's correct.
Because we've got Paul Urbana-Jones coming back. Is he's sort of headlining the show?
Yes, he's one of the special shows that we have on Saturday, and he's been very popular on Waiheke in the past, but he hasn't actually been here for a few years. Mm. And he used to play at Vino, I can remember. But we have him, and the Waiheke Golf Club is one of our venues this year.
Ah, right.
And they're going all out. They're going to do a New Orleans food theme and, you know, all that.
Oh, brilliant.
So Paul Urbana-Jones will be on at 7:30 as a special show at the golf club.
Is that on the Saturday or Sunday?
That is on the Saturday. The special shows are both on Saturday night, basically.
Okay. Mm. And the special shows are?
And that's one at 7:30, Paul Urbana-Jones. And then we have a real exciting one this year. It's a New Zealand Blues Brothers tribute show. So that's an 8-piece band. They're called the Lazy Boys. And they do the full tribute like the Blues Brothers movie. And they have a Jake and Elwood character. And
oh,
they
great.
Do all the songs from the show. They basically do the full show with all the moves, the songs, and the lines and the gimmicks from the 1980 feature film.
Brilliant. Mm. And where will they be playing?
And they're going to be, that's really suitable place is going to be the Woolshed, the dirt track.
Okay.
And that'll be, that's a 9 o'clock show.
Right.
And
so
there's lots of other great stuff happening all over the island as well for that whole weekend. But those are the two special shows this year.
Mm. Okay. So would it be possible to catch Paul Urbana-Jones and then go on to the Blues Brothers tribute?
Yes. You have a good driver. That's true.
A sober driver, of course.
That's true. And the buses will be going around. Yeah, that is true. And there's special deals that you can get where it incorporates the special shows as well, and they're also tied in with car ferry deals and accommodation, and that's all through C-Link.
Right.
So and Fuller's are also obviously bringing the foot passengers over from Auckland.
Okay, so your major sponsors are C-Link, Fuller's, Island Taxi.
Yes, Island Taxis.
Marketplace. And Onitangi Beach Apartments.
And the Blue Bubble Taxis.
Blue Bubble Taxis.
It's actually called the Blue Bubble Taxis Waiheke Blues Festival.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're the naming rights sponsors.
Mm. Okay. So are they just going to be around for the Blues Festival, or are they new to the island?
That is not something I know about, but I know they're new for us this year, definitely.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's great. So whereabouts are the other venues?
Right, well, this year we're having some that we had last year as well. We've got the Goldie Room, which is the old Goldwaters, and they've been in, this is their third year of being in. And this year we've got Stefano's has come on board, which is great because they have a stage inside now with their new room that they've got. The Woolshed's been in every year. They're on again. And Casita Miro is in again this year. And then the golf club. So it's Goldie Room, Stefano's, Woolshed, Casita Miro, and the Waiheke Golf Club.
And what time do they start?
Well, it'll all kick off 1 o'clock. The opening will be at Goldie Room. Mm-hmm. We've traditionally done an opening porphyry with the Kaumatua. We'll do that again. And that the first act will follow that, and that'll be 1 o'clock, and that's a Darcy Perry Band.
Okay, and that's on Saturday, the 27th of August.
Correct, and they're very good, the Darcy Perry Band, and they've never played here. So
okay,
yes, they're a good New Zealand blues band.
Right, we're talking to Katie Soljak about the jazz at the Blues Festival that's coming up next weekend, the 27th and 28th
weekends away,
that's correct. 27th and 28th of August. Who is playing that we've seen before and has come back by popular demand?
Oh, okay. Well, Shane Hurricane Wills, he's been a very popular act here for a few years, and he was in last year's festival, and he's back by popular demand. Al Reeve is coming back. He wasn't in last year. Heart Attack Alley, I really like these guys. It's a young trio, and they do rockabilly style blues.
Are they from Auckland?
They're from Auckland, and they're opening for some quite big acts nowadays. and the one of the guys in there used to be in Super Groove, Carl Stevens, and then there's these two girls, one plays electric guitar, and the other one's got a very cool sort of throaty, you know, blues voice, and so they sort of belt out a rockabilly style blues. Mm-hmm. Really, really worth seeing. Kriston Battistich is a young Waiheke talent who's coming back this year as well, and he's only going on 18. Mm-hmm. Writes all his own songs, and he was taught guitar by Manu Pratt on the island when he was just a young 13-year-old boy, and he's gone on. He's playing in Wellington a lot now.
That's great. Now, what about the Flaming Mudcats?
Oh yes, the Flaming Mudcats. They're a favourite in the Auckland blues scene. They're sort of quite a hard driving blues band, and crowd pleasing. You know, songs they do a lot of songs that people will recognise. That's the first time they've been on our festival. They play a lot of the big festivals around the country, the big blues festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And is there anybody else there that we haven't touched on?
Well, yes, I might as well say a couple more acts. Well, my band's playing, obviously.
Right. When and where are you playing?
Well, I'm playing. Let me have a look. I need to check that out myself. I'm on at 4 o'clock at the Golf Club on Saturday, and 7:30 at Casita Mero on Saturday, and then Sunday at Stefano's at 12:30 and the Woolshed at 2:30 before the jam. We always have a big jam session at the end of the festival on Sunday.
And that's going to be at the Woolshed?
At the Woolshed, yes. And that's a lot of fun.
What time does that start?
The blues jam will be 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
And it was packed out last year. Everybody just comes down, and we encourage as many musicians as possible to come to that. There are a couple of other acts I should mention as well. Kipper, who's one of our favourite slide players / taxi drivers on the island. He's a really good player, and he's playing this year as well. He played last year as well. And then we also have a lovely act this year that's new, the Mojo Risers, which is Aaron Carpenter and Neil, have played in the past, but they're bringing Kiri Eriwata, who's a beautiful blues soul kind of singer, and it's Kiri Eriwata and the Mojo Risers, and they'll be playing. Let me see. I'm just looking. Oh, they're at the Goldie Room on Saturday, in Stefano's also, and yeah, that's the main ones they're doing.
Right, and I notice for a weekend pass, it's $35 excluding the special evening shows.
Right, so $35
or $85 including all shows at all venues.
It's a really, the $85 is actually the best deal because you get the special shows and the pass to the whole weekend. Yes, I forgot another good act. This is the last one I haven't mentioned, is the Dave Alley Band, and they're sort of Cat Stevens, Bruce Coburn sort of inspired, and it's a combination of originals and blues that people will know, and they're a very good value and are quite a favourite here on the island as well. Yes,
Yes, they've been here before, haven't they?
Yes, they have, but not in our festival. This is the first time.
Mm. Right. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea, the blues festival for midwinter, and getting people out and about, and stimulating some money on the island.
Yes, that's right.
I think it's been a great initiative, and it deserves our support, that's for sure.
Oh, great, thank you.
And blues, I mean, blues, people think, blues, you know, some people are a bit dubious about blues, but it's quite a wide spectrum of music, isn't it?
It is, exactly. It isn't all just, you know, the traditional blues. Like, you can see there's a range of the rockabilly through to the sort of Chicago styles, and then with the Blues Brothers review, that's going to be a lot of fun. Mm. We've got something planned. We've got a couple of classic cars that we're going to take through Waiheke on the afternoon of Saturday, the actual day of the show, with some of the Blues Brothers band in it, so advertising the night show. But
that's
like
great.
They did in the movie. So
they might be doing some bit of jamming on the back of the
Well, it'll be. I don't quite know what they're going to get up to, but we've provided them with a classic car, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's more just to promote it as on the day, but it'll be a lot of fun. We've got two beautiful classic cars available.
Yeah, right. Well, that's one of the reasons I dug out the Bob Hite collection.
CD. I was enjoying that.
Because it's got quite a bit of what they call blues on here. Mm. And, you know, what I've just played with Etta James, for instance.
Yes.
But that is bright and breezy and you know, you can jump to it. It's not necessarily it's music bounceable. To jump off a cliff to, you know.
Exactly.
Sometimes it can get a bit too soulful.
Yes, I know what you mean. But there's as you can hear on... Well, just that last track you played, I mean, there's a wide range.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you get into the business?
Oh, my goodness. I've always liked it. Really, I was in my 30s when I first started getting into blues, and I got into the Lady Sings the Blues show that was in the 80s, late 80s, and we did a revival of that last year after 25 years or something. So it's just a... been a passion, I did quite a lot of blues singing in America as well when I was over there.
Okay,
you know, it's just something that appeals to me.
Right. So that was your first love for in the music thing was blues, was it?
Yes. Well, probably. I grew up with the top 40 and pop songs, you know, but like the early 60s sort of pop songs. But I was drawn to it in my 30s, probably when I was going through changes and things too, and different songs would hit a nerve with you, and then I started writing my own. So,
and were you exposed to blues music when you were in the States?
Yes, no, I actively sought it out, and I sought out blues musicians as well. Yes,
whereabouts in the States was that?
Well, in Los Angeles, I was mostly Long Beach in Los Angeles. I was there the last time 10 years.
And what brought you to Waiheke?
Well, actually, my ex-husband, who's also a musician, had moved here and was always raving about it. And I'd come and visit, and I was like a typical Aucklander, really, and popped over on the 10 o'clock and was back on the 3 or something like that. You know, so obviously I never really, at that stage, got it. But then he had a stroke about 11 years ago, and when I saw him in the hospital, and he just said he wanted to go home, and I decided to come and take care of him, and which was challenging because he didn't really want to be taken care of that much, but but he needed to be. And then suddenly it all clicked how amazing Waiheke really is to live, you know, and what a place to live it is. And so I didn't go back over to Ponsonby to my job. I ended up staying here.
Great.
Yes.
Well, that's worked out well for both of us, I think, for Waiheke and for you.
Yes, it has.
We've got the pleasure of having you perform on a fairly regular basis, and you're certainly very popular.
Oh, thank you.
And it's great that we've got such talent on this island.
There is a lot of talent on the island.
A wide variety of talent, you know, all sorts of spectrums.
Yes, it's true.
But I don't know what it is. It must be something in the air.
I think it's just a nice place for humans.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Perhaps it brings out the artistic side in us.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, Katie, now, if people are interested in coming along, which I'm sure they are, and coming along to all or part of the Blues Festival, how do they get tickets?
Right. Well, I would suggest just going online like we do with everything these days, just www.waihekeblues.co.nz. That's the website, and everything is on there, the program, how to book tickets, you know, all the band information, special show information, it's all there. So that's www.waihekeblues.co.nz. That's probably the best.
Are tickets on sale anywhere on the island?
Yes, they'll be actually...
Are they going to be on sale on the day, you know, door sales?
Through the website is the best. And also you could check down at the Fuller's. They usually have a booth set up. I don't know if it's set up just yet, but there'll be a counter specifically handling, you know, the blues tickets.
Right, and you've got quite a comprehensive brochure there, I noticed.
Yes, I'll leave this with you.
Whereabouts is that available?
Well, this is on the ferries and different places around the island, but I've noticed a big stack of them on the ferry when I was just there this week.
That's great. Well, we've been talking to Katie Soljak, who's the talent coordinator for the Waiheke Blues Festival that's starting. It's going to be on in a fortnight's time, Saturday the 27th and Sunday the 28th of August. And it's a wonderful lineup. You'll see, if you have a look in the Golf News and the Marketplace, they've got the lineup in there. Pick up a brochure or go online to www.waihekeblues.co.nz, and all the information's there as to how you can get tickets and participate in that great weekend. Thank you very much, Katie.
Thank you, Jan. Come along and have a good time, rain or shine, it'll be on.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Now it's my pleasure to say hello to Jackie O'Brien. Welcome, Jackie.
Hello, Jan.
Now, Jackie, you're here to talk to us about Project Chioni Japan. Have I pronounced that correctly?
You have, yes.
Right. If you can... Now, you've got a walk planned tomorrow, 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, it's a participatory event that is the second one that we've organised in relation to Project Chioni Japan. And it starts from Onira at 1 o'clock tomorrow as an event that Warwick Broadhead is going to facilitate for us. And it's going to end in the rec centre at Ostend after a silent walk.
It's in support of the victims of the tsunami and earthquake in Japan and back in March, isn't it?
It is. It's partly that, but it's also partly to help us to keep on remembering that event and the fact that its effects are still ongoing and quite devastating in some areas. And we want to collectively send our good wishes to the people in North Japan as much as we can so that they hopefully will pick up that we still think about the fact that they're in the situation that they're in.
Yes, because it was an enormous catastrophe, wasn't it, when you look at the photographs and videos that are doing the rounds.
It was such a devastating event that the clean-up in a lot of areas in the north of Japan still hasn't happened. The task facing the government and support agencies and volunteers is so great that there is some suggestion that it may even take up to 2 years to clear away the debris before any infrastructural things can happen.
Mm. Somebody sent me an email yesterday of footage that they hadn't seen before of a group of people on a fairly high hill watching the events, and they're talking in Japanese, of course, and they're quite excited about watching it to begin with. And then as the momentum grew and the debris grew, and they were watching houses and buildings being, and it overwhelmed them, just, you know, on this fairly quite high hill.
In that it came up towards them, you mean?
Yes, it did. And by the time it got that momentum, it was going at such pace that they couldn't run from it. So they got consumed by it. It's really quite amazing.
The Kesanuma City, which is the first city that we've been able to send T-shirts to, that has become quite an enormous endeavour in itself in the face of the complete devastation of infrastructure in those regions, is how were we going to be able to get the T-shirts that we have had gifted to the people in areas of Japan. Those systems have gone. So eventually, through serendipity, we found a way to get some T-shirts to Kesanuma City. And when you look at that city on a map, it actually sits at the head of quite a large fjord, or the equivalent of fjord, but like Picton. And the tsunami generally has been said to be about 20 metres high. Now, because of that funnel effect for Kesanuma City, by the time it got to the city, it was actually 50 metres high. And the devastation in that city was huge, absolutely huge. So we have been learning a lot about the outcome of the tsunami in very personal ways through this project, how it's affected people on the ground.
Yes. The T-shirts you're seeing over, is that sort of a similar idea to what we did for Christchurch, a support, to show support for them?
It is. The only difference is that there's been a lot of funds raised for Japan. It's the way that we all think about how we're going to support these things, is how we can donate money. And that's a wonderful thing, because so much money is gathered and it's been able to be used in a long-term way to really build back infrastructure and support people that have been devastated by these things. And T-shirts have become one of those ways of fundraising. So the One for Christchurch, for example, which Deborah Kelland initiated, worked beautifully to raise funds. But what we thought when we looked at how support could happen from here was that the people in Japan receive the financial support. The people that buy the T-shirts wear them here, so they're carrying those messages here. And those messages might not necessarily get to the people who are suffering. So what we thought was, well, maybe what we could do was actually use the T-shirt as a medium for sending that message. So our point of difference is that the T-shirts, there's no funds go, there's no actual money that goes to Japan. What happens is that T-shirts are gifted. So one person wears a T-shirt here that has a message that we are wishing you well, and a sister T-shirt goes to Japan so that the recipient there knows that people here are thinking about them. So there's that connection.
Right. Mm. Are those T-shirts still on sale?
They are available. We don't say they're for sale. We say that it's a gift process.
Okay.
So the gifting that comes creates, it gives us the ability to create two or three to gift to Japan.
So how could somebody make a gift like that?
Every week at the market, Kazu Nakagawa, one of our team, is there. We also have a website, which is www.chioni.org.nz.
Would you spell that for us, please?
I will. I'll have to read it. It's www.chiyo-ni.org.nz. And I do have a letter here from one of the recipients, if you've got time.
Oh, wonderful.
Not long ago, after our first lot of T-shirts arrived in Kisanuma, and the process there is that we have no control over who receives these T-shirts. They're gifted in different ways, in ways that we don't know. But what happened was, as a result of that, we got a letter from one of the recipients that we never expected to get. And I could read you a little bit of it if you would like. So it says, "Dear friends of Project Chiyoni Japan, we are so grateful for you sending us T-shirts. Our Kesanuma City on the Pacific side of Miyagi Prefecture has been blessed with beauty and bounty of nature. Here you can enjoy the beautiful scenery of the deep indented coastline and see a variety of marine life in the fertile sea. On March 11 this year, however, the huge tsunami with the intensity which people say occurs once in 1,000 years destroyed our city, taking precious lives of our family members and friends and properties. Our industries were also devastated to an unprecedented scale. Our shop, which was opened only a year and a half ago, was totally destroyed, and we were very depressed about it. When we received your warm support from New Zealand, the kindness and concern you have shown us in Kesanuma is very encouraging, and it means a lot to us. We are also pleased and grateful for everything you have done. All the citizens are united in the face of this crisis, and I promise you that in the near future, we will be able to show you our renewed Kesanuma City, where the port will be bustling and businesses will be filled with the joyful sounds of human voices and activities. Thank you so much, and we hope to get in touch with you again and again in the days and years to come."
Mm. Very moving. Yes.
Yes.
We're talking to Jackie O'Brien about the support that has been organised on the island for the victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. And you're doing another walk tomorrow, Jackie.
Yes.
Tell us something about that.
The walk will start at 1 o'clock at Oniroa. And the thing that we'd like to stress really is that this is not an event that you stand around and watch. It really is a participation that as a collective group we can actually concentrate our thoughts on trying to send a message across the oceans to Japan. So, as I said before, Warwick Broadhead will actually facilitate this and help guide us through a collective involvement. And we would like everyone to bring an umbrella, because we're going to start at the beach as a metaphor, if you like, for the tsunami. And the fact that the sea is the one thing that really connects us from this point to Japan. And then we're going to ask everyone to walk in silence from Oniroa to the rec centre in Ostend, holding the umbrella. When everyone arrives in the rec centre, we will have a programme of performances that have a Japanese inspiration aspect to them. And that is free for everyone to come to. If people feel like they can't walk that distance, they're welcome to come to the beach and then come to the rec centre via car if that's what suits them best. So there's two places and the connection in between, which is the walk.
Right. Is this going to be videoed so that it can be sent to Japan for people to know that that support is there for them?
Yes, that's one of the things that we would like to come out of this, aside from the experience for us here to keep reimagining what it must like in be in Japan and send our thoughts to that, is that this will be filmed so that we can send it out to people in Japan. But we do ask that other people don't record it and that there are no photographs taken. And that is purely because we want people to be part of it, not stand outside it and record it.
Right. Mm. And of course, this is the second one that you've done, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, how did it come about, the initiative?
To do the events.
Mm.
They were purely a response to the fact that news of big events comes and goes, and once they leave our consciousness, we tend to forget that they're there. And we really wanted to have a second aspect to the gifting of T-shirts that would reconnect us all the time to the project and to what's going on in Japan. So we're planning another one in a while that will happen in Auckland in the CBD as another site and another group of people that we can draw into the project.
So this was a Waiheke initiative, wasn't it?
It was, yes, yes.
And you're now going to take that to Auckland City?
We're going to expand it out to Auckland, yes, City, and who knows, maybe it will expand out even further than that. But we are quite clear that there is a cohesive process that goes on, that there is, whenever one of these events happen, that it happens in the same way.
Right.
Mm.
Now, there was an umbrella designed and made for this, specifically for this, wasn't there?
It wasn't actually designed specifically for this. One of our group, Kazu, who's a sculptor who lives on Waiheke and comes from Japan, he had a work called Andante on headland sculpture on the Gulf this year, and that involved the use of an umbrella. Now, because of that event, the difficult nature of that event, the number of people that came through it, there were two sets of umbrellas made. One was the actual sculpture itself, which was for sale, each umbrella. But there was this other group of umbrellas that were there purely for visitors to use as the sculpture. So they became quite worn, but they became left over, if you like. So Kazu was looking for a way that he could turn those umbrellas into seed funding that would contribute to this project. So there were 108 umbrellas, and we have been gifting them for $100 to add to the pool of funds that we have to create more T-shirts to send.
Right. So there's still some of those available?
There's still some of those available. But if people don't have those umbrellas, they can bring their own umbrella to this event. It's part of taking part, is to hold an umbrella. So
that's a great idea.
Mm.
A terrific idea. So how did you get involved with this initiative?
Early on, there was a group of people that were really connected around Kazu when he was quite clearly really affected, I think, as all Japanese people would have been that live on the island, about what had happened and feeling some sense of distance and disjuncture from what was going on in their own country. And he started talking to a whole group of people about what could he do that would make a difference for us here, for those there, and that he could actually support in some way. And that's how that developed. So a group of us have got together and formed a charitable trust, which is a Project Journey Japan trust. And I'm on that trust now, as Kazu is and Chris Palmer.
Is Chione a place or meaning?
The meaning is really what is on the T-shirt, and it's embedded in wishing you long life once more.
Mm. Right.
Yes.
That's a great thought, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, we're talking to Jackie O'Brien about the Project Chione Japan event, the second walk that you've organised that will be happening tomorrow at 1 o'clock along Onirua Beach, and then in silence to the rec centre at Donald Bruce Road.
That's right.
Is that right? And followed by a concert of music, and which has got some great, our own Helen Bowater, as she's composed a piece, and Andrew Caldwell, her partner, he's done a short film. And of course we've got Warwick Broadhead involved as well.
Mm, we have. Yeah. And two artists coming from Auckland who are Japanese. One is a member of the Western Springs Taiko Drumming Group, and he's going to come over and help break our silence with the taiko drums, and a composer called Tsubasa Yamamoto, who has produced a work specifically for this event about the tsunami.
Right. Mm. So the walk along the beach, is that in silence as well?
Yes. As soon as we gather at the beach, Warwick will frame our silence for us, and from that moment on, what happens will be directed by him, and we will walk in silence in single file to Ostend, which is about 3.5 kilometres and will take about 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right, and then there's a formal breaking of the silence at the rec centre.
Yes, yes. Right. Then we will have these performances that are also will, in a sense, be rather an audience that we're all there to take part in the collective sending of good wishes, and then we'll have tea and biscuits afterwards.
Right. Oh, well, Japanese tea?
Green tea, yes.
Green tea. Well, it sounds it's a great initiative, and I'm sure the people of Japan would be heartened to know that there is support for them from a small island on the other side of the Pacific.
Mm.
There are a couple of ways that people can help in gifting by through T-shirts or umbrellas. Is there any other way that they can help?
I think by taking part is a gift,
yes,
in a sense. And all of us are involved. Well, I certainly feel that by taking part, that becomes my gift in my own small way. But many other people have gifted in other ways and come in and out of the group. For example, today, the rec centre itself, the Tracy and Matt there, being very supportive in gifting. Other people have lent us equipment. The high school is a very big part of this process as well, allowing us to borrow equipment and supporting us in other ways. Of course, there's always donations. People can make donations, however small. Kazu is at the market every Saturday. Online, you can make a gift. And we just say, contribute what you can when you can.
Yes.
In whatever way. It doesn't have to be money.
Mm. Mm. And the website is www.chioni, that's chiyoni.org.nz, mm, if you want to make a gift or find out more information. But other than that, show your support by turning up at 1 o'clock tomorrow at Onirua, bring an umbrella and join the support for the victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.